This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast. We thank you for joining us, counting it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you, and I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio. Lord, thank you for each and every one of the listeners that's joined us. We pray, Father, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way during this time. We'll give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brethren, I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for us. Pray for our children's homes here in Bristol, Tennessee. One in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as all the mission work going in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine. A lot of things going on in those countries right now. Sure appreciate the Lord giving us this open door. I think of that scripture often. It said, I've set before thee an open door. And I appreciate that the Lord has given us this opportunity to take the gospel into these countries, into these children's homes and different places that the Lord has established this work. And we realize that your prayers and your financial support is a great part of this. We want to thank you for that. Ask you to continue with us in this ministry. I would like to give you some mailing addresses this week, if you would, to write us. You could write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. But at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing. As we're singing, I love to tell the story. I got to thinking about, and it's been about 28 years ago, I just started preaching, announced my call to preach, and somebody called me and wanted me to help in my first revival. I was scared to death. And me and another feller was supposed to be holding it. I was going to preach one night and him the next, you know, rotate nights, forever how long it went. Like I said, I was scared to death. I was just young and didn't know nothing, still don't know much. And he's an older man and been around and really knew the Lord. And I was pretty intimidated. Just be honest about it. So the meeting started, and I preached the first four or five nights, never could get him to preach. And I mean, I was telling him everything I knew, and I didn't know much. I mean, I knew I was saved, and I knew it was the blood of Jesus. But you can't say that so much. And anyway, after about four or five nights, well, about the middle of the week, I thought, what am I going to do? I figured it out. He wasn't going to preach. I was digging in that Bible, and I was looking, and I was working. But I was working 12 hours then preaching at night, and I didn't have a lot of time, you know. Anyway, I got this big idea. I went online, and I ordered me a book, a commentary like. You know, some messages. And I thought that'll, you know, but I couldn't get it. Anyway, I ordered that, and it come. I looked at it, and I throwed it in the trash can. And I got down on my face, and I said, Lord, if you can't help me, I ain't going to do it. And so I went in the next night. He wouldn't preach. I got up and that's what I thought. I said, if God can't help, I know where I preached. I mean, I'll never forget that. I preached over Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord. Lean not on thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord. All thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy. I'll never forget that. And anyway, so that night at the end of the service, I said, this meeting's over. I wasn't even the pastor. I said, but I'm closing it out. And walked down there and sat down. That guy said, I had a lot of stuff I was going to preach. I said, well, you should have been preaching it some. Help me out some. I said, you can have next weekend, but I'm done. But I learned something in that meeting. I think that meeting was more for me than it was anybody else. And I had to get to a place where all you can do is trust the Lord. Amen. And I throwed that stuff away. I didn't have but one at the time anyway, and I throwed it away. Just got it. Just paid for it. Come in the mail. I thought, well, I got a place for that trash can. If the Lord can't help me, I don't want it. That don't make me nothing. That just got me thinking about it. I love to tell the story. Ain't no use of me telling somebody else's story. I mean, he gave you a testimony. That's yours. Everybody in here back in, maybe not everybody now, but back years ago, everybody, we heard it so much, everybody in here could tell preachers. They got a song about everything. But that didn't do me no, I mean, it done me good. But what I'm saying, that ain't my story. Anyway, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn a couple places at this point. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 50. Then I'm going to go I'm gonna go over to Exodus chapter 12 and maybe Hebrews. I don't know. But I was sitting back here yesterday reading this. And I really like reading Exodus chapter 12. I love that chapter. And I think this is even a chapter, I mean, you know, today's New Year's, you know, January 1st, 2023. And I love reading this chapter at New Year's. And there's a reason for it. I'll read this first, then I'll go back to Genesis. But the Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year for you. Well, that's a good time to celebrate New Year's, ain't it? But, I mean, there's a reason for this, and I think it comes around on a yearly basis because this is the reading of the Passover. And he tells them to keep this Passover from year to year. I mean, don't forget this. I mean, don't. This is the beginning of years for you, at the beginning of months, at the beginning of time. Don't forget this. Every year this comes around, you celebrate this. Now, I realize we're not at the Passover. We're celebrating a new year. But I'll tell you, when my Passover started, it's when I got saved. Amen. That's when I began to live. That's when I really began. I could sit here and tell several of you's testimony, probably. I've heard several of them quite a few times. But Lord God, I know when I began to live. That's when the Lamb was birthed in my life. And that's when you begin to live. I mean, that's really when you really take your first good breath. That's when you really, you know, we have highlights. And I'll get to where I'm going to preach in a little while maybe. I remember... Oh, over there here sometime back, we was over to Children's Home, and they was watching Aniston most about every day. And I remember over there one day, just as you walk in the door right there, and that black rug right there is where she took her first steps. You know, things that we count as big things, pinnacles in life. But really, when I took my first step was when I got born again. I'd been living in the flesh, but I knew nothing of God. But anyway, the Bible said, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eatings shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. I like that right there. Everybody was involved. I mean, at the cross of Calvary, you can't look at it and say, that ain't my doings. Everybody's sin was there. Everybody was involved. I don't care if you're Hebrew, Greek, it don't make no difference what that It was our sins that placed him on the cross of Calvary. Now, I really love that reading. There's a lot more to it, but I want to go back over here and in Genesis chapter 50. And I want to read just a couple things that Joseph says. And this has come down to the end of Joseph, his life, and he's got his family around him, and he's got them near him. And the Bible said in verse 22, and Joseph dwelled in Egypt. He and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Amen. And bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now I want to talk to you about this little thought right here. And God will surely visit you. Boy, ain't that a blessing. I mean, to know that God will visit you. Now, I've been thinking about this. Joseph, here he was, and he had been down in the land of Egypt for some time. He had been through a lot of things in his life. And God had mightily used Joseph. But now he's to the point of life that he's about to die. And he realizes that things are going to change. And I've been thinking about that. Boy, hadn't change happened in our country over the last 40, 50, 60 years. A lot of big changes. I mean, we're a generation that can say, as others have said, we've lived in two Americas. When I was a little feller, I really thought it was a godly America. I mean, I thought everybody knew the Lord, or at least knew about him. I mean, there's some mean and different, but hey, they knew about him anyway. Brett made a statement up here yesterday. He talked to somebody, gave him a tract last day or two, and said, here, this is about Jesus, and they didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue who Jesus was right here in the United States. Well, that's probably a common thing now, to be honest about it. It really is common. But anyway, Joseph is down here, and he's telling this crowd, he said, the Lord's going to visit you. And I don't know if Joseph knew exactly how long it would be. But he knew that he could count on the Lord visiting his people. And he knew that when the Lord visited his people, he wasn't going to leave them down there. He said, now listen, the Lord, this is good news. The Lord's going to visit you. You ain't going to have to stay down here. But when he does, I want you to make a vow. When you leave, take me with you. I mean, when the Lord visits you, take me with you. I don't want to stay down. This ain't my land either. Amen. But I want to talk to you about what you got to have when the Lord visits you. Amen. As far as I know, there ain't but one thing you got to have when the Lord visits you. That's the lamb. Amen. When the Lord visits, you better have the lamb. I was thinking about this. I mean, here, there's a lot of things take place from the end of Genesis to over Exodus chapter 11. You'll find out very quickly in Exodus that there's a Pharaoh that was raised up that knew not Joseph. Joseph died. Pharaoh died. Now there's a crowd that don't know Joseph. The children of Israel had a lot of things going for them as long as Joseph was alive, or at least the knowledge and the memory of Joseph was known to the Egyptians. But when nobody knew Joseph, his ways, or anything about him, everything started to get real bad on the children of Israel. The Bible said they made them work with rigor. I mean, they made life bitter. I want to tell you something. Without this heavenly Joseph, life is bitter. It ain't long till they're crying out to the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, get us out of this land. I mean, it's bad down here. Would you do something? When the children got to crying out, God said, I'm going to visit that crowd. Amen. I believe when the church gets to crying out, even so come Lord Jesus, he'll visit that land. Amen. I mean, he'll come around. If you want him to come around, amen, cry out to him. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to cry out to him. I'd like to take just a minute before I go on, and I'll try to be good. I've got things on my mind that I... You say, why are you trying? You're the pastor for a little while.
Amen. Bless you.
I'd like to lift you up, but you can't be lifted up without the Lamb. Amen. I can't be helped, amen, without the Lamb.
Amen.
That God-awful mess ain't going to help you. You need the church. You need the Lamb. You need the blood of Jesus. You need a visitation. You need God to visit you. You need your youngins to be visited. You need your grand youngins to be visited from God. And all of this stuff out there ain't going to give you nothing but bitterness, rigor. It's going to work you to death. The only thing you're really going to get is from God.
Amen.
Lord God, I love you. I want you to get some help, but you ain't going to get it out yonder. I found out 29 years ago, I ain't getting it from a book. I'm going to get it on my face. Or I ain't going to get it, Don.
Amen. Amen.
I went through that mess for another year or two or whatever it was. Really about 4 years, be honest, about 4 years. And before I knew it, I was in bondage, religious bondage. And you know how I got out? I went in that same room I got that message from. I went in there and I closed the door. I got down on my face, literally on my face, for about 3 or 4 hours. And I said, Lord, I'm not getting up until you help me. And I was in a revival meeting that week also. The Lord gave me a scripture, and I've honored that scripture the best I could. He said, mark them which teach doctrine contrary to which you have learned, and avoid them. And I didn't go back. Shortly after that, the Lord sent me up here, and I've not had to go back out in many revival meetings, and I'm not looking for them. I'm not looking for a big name. I'm not looking to be evangelist. I don't even really think there are many evangelists in America anymore.
Amen.
America's already been evangelized.
Amen.
But you know where they're at this morning? They're not in the church. They're at home watching the television or on Facebook or some ungodly outfit. They don't want the Lord no more.
Amen.
But when the Lord visits, you're going to need the Lamb.
Amen.
So you oughtn't say that stuff. Well, somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to take a minute or two and exhort you and say, if you're going to get any help, I mean, if you'd like for 2023 to be better than 2022 was, you're going to need the Lamb.
Amen.
You're going to need him.
Amen.
Amen. That outfit didn't help you in 2022. It ain't going to help you now.
Amen.
It ain't going to do a thing for you. I'll say this. Hey, I got to thinking about it, looking at this. A lot of people, they make resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. Well, if you'll get the Lamb,
Amen.
First thing they went out, it was the Passover. They're getting ready to leave. They started eating from some spiritual bread.
Amen.
Changed their drink, thank God. Started drinking from the spiritual water. I mean, change their clothing. My God, this Lamb will help you in every aspect of life.
Amen.
This Lamb will help you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This Lamb got them out of bed of the morning.
Amen.
So how'd they do that? Hey, when the sun got up on the heat of the day, that manna dissolved. If you was going to eat what he gave you, you had to get up and get it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The sluggard that tossed to and fro, you know what? Proverbs talks about that dude. I mean, the slugger tossed to and fro. I mean, if you didn't get up out of the bed in the morning and get on with it, you know what happened? You missed breakfast, you missed dinner, and you missed supper. That's how I talk about it anyway. I call it supper. Some of y'all got that messed up. See, supper's of the evening. But anyway, see, you missed out on a whole day's meal. And if you didn't get you a little extra on collect for the Sabbath, you missed out on 2 days.
Amen.
See, I mean, this lamb will help you.
Amen.
This lamb will help you.
Amen.
Oh, Joseph's down there and he said, look, the Lord's going to visit you.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, wouldn't that be good news for 2023? And I come in here and say, the Lord's going to visit you, Brookside.
Amen.
The Lord's going to be around here. Amen. My question is, are you? I mean, do you want to eat that spiritual bread and drink that spiritual water, or you want to drink what they're giving you and eat what they're giving you? You've got an option. Lord God, I come in here, I'm going to be good this morning. I'm just going to get that. I can't help it. It's not in me to be good, especially when God puts something on me to say, I'm going to do my best to say it. The Bible said, preach the word, be instant in season, rebuke, exhort. I see, you get both of them in one sentence. You say, I like it. I can't help it. I want you to get some help. I want help. I need this lamb just as much as you need. I need that little lamb that's in you. And I know you need the one that's in me. We need one another. This ain't just a church. This is a family. I looked at that picture of Nathan last night. He sent me that little video he sent me of that church over there, and I thought, that's not just a missionary from North Carolina over here. That's not just somebody that went over there just to help. No, he's sitting in the midst of his family right now.
Amen.
That's family. Lord God, that's worth something. Them people don't just consider him as an American. No, that's family.
Yes, amen.
He's their father in the faith.
Amen.
That's what Paul said about. He said, "I'm your father in the faith."
Yes,
you know, every time I hear Nathan crying, you know who he's crying over? Them folks there.
Amen.
You know who he's burdened over? Them folks there. I talked to all them missionaries. They ain't looking for things from. They're worried about them villages. Joseph was down there, and he said, "Look, I'm going to die, but God's going to visit you."
Amen.
He tells them that the first time. He said, "The Lord's surely going to visit you." He said, "Well, let's get something straight." He tells them again. He said, "The Lord's going to visit you, but when He does, I can see how good God is. He's not going to leave you down here." And when He visits you and He takes you out of this place, take me with you.
Yeah.
You know what Joseph was really saying? It's whatever God's in, that's where I want to be.
Amen.
Joseph never had a complaint, as far as I can tell, down there in Egypt. You know why he didn't complain? That's where God wanted him. But when God was getting ready to be done with that work and move him out, he said, "I want to go there too. I want to move out." I don't know. I have no clue what 23 is going to hold, good or bad. I don't know. But I know what you're going to need. It ain't a resolution. It ain't turning over a new leaf. It ain't making promises you can't keep. The only thing that I know that you need and I need is the Lamb. When God visits, you're going to need the lamb. When God comes by, the lamb's what He's looking for. I read that to you in verse 13. He said, "When I pass by," He said, "and I see the blood, I'm going to go on." He said, "I'm looking for that lamb. I'm looking for Him. I'm not looking at what you done. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for that blood. I'm looking, great God, I'm looking for Him." You know, I never did get over here to the book of Hebrews, but I've been thinking about this. You say, what does that have to do with? Well, the Bible talked about that crowd in verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. But just before that, in verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'm not reading that to get people to come to church. I'm reading it to be exhorted. But exhorting one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. Well, how you say, how you going to do that? Well, all you got to do is back up just a little bit and find out. It said in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the holiest, enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There's that blood again. Amen. There's how you're going to be exhorted, is Jesus. You can enter in. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he's saying this, how are you going to be exhorted as you see the day approaching? By the blood of Jesus. Because of that blood, you can come in. I guess what I'm trying to say is when you come in, you're to be able to find out that the Lord's going to visit his people and you need the Lamb. Now, I don't know, as I said, I don't know what 23 is going to hold, but I know who, I know the only one that can help you. Amen. And that's the Lamb. Amen. You can call me and tell me what's going on. I can't promise you I can do anything about it, but I know one that can help you. Amen. That's the Lamb. I know the one I got to depend on. And that's the Lamb. I'll never forget that. I got down there and I told the Lord, I said, if you can't help me, I'm done. So what happened? Well, that's been 29 years ago. And I've never been able to pick up one of them books yet. In fact, all of that mess that was back there, it got escorted to the dumpster. I don't know if preacher read them or not. I don't have a problem if he did. I just know what the Lord told me. I don't have nobody to depend on but him. He'll be found faithful. I'm going to trust him. See, I don't know what it's going to hold, but I do know who I can trust. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but I do know one that'll be there with me. I do know one that'll help me. I found out something, and I'm going to close. You got to surrender to that help. People verbally say all the time, I need help. Well, let him. I've done this, and I know you probably have too. Lord, I want you to help me, but do it in the way I want it done. It don't work that way. Now, the best thing to do is throw up your hands and say, Lord, whatever you want, because I know I can't fix this thing. Whichever way you want it. And you'll see something take place. You'll see him move and do some things. And you'll know it's of God because you couldn't do it. I like when I know it's of God. But 23 is here, and I believe the Lord's going to visit. I believe he's going to come by. I believe he's going to do some things. But know this, it is all him. I believe there's deliverance in the Lord. He'll help you if you let him. Amen.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.